Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here with the man that needeth no introduction, the captain, Jack Berry. Jack,
Josh,
it's good to see you.
It's good to see you as well. Yeah. We had a little powwow before this, so
we
Josh
did.
Could vent a little bit. But yeah. Josh, two anniversaries are coming up.
Oh, tell me.
Today and tomorrow.
Okay.
2 days only. It's like a mattress. It's like one of those old mattress commercials.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like 2 days only. Exactly. Sale. Today is the 10th anniversary when we're recording this on March 10th. Uh-huh. Is the 10th anniversary of me getting out of the military.
It really? Dude, congrats. Thank you for your service and congratulations.
Yeah,
that's awesome,
you.
Dude. 10 years.
And then Tomorrow, your boy's birthday is happening, Tuesday, yep. March 11th. So
It is.
And I got to tell you, I was texting my sister-in-law something, something in the news. I was texting her like an article in the news, and she goes, "Hey, what are you doing for your birthday?" I'm like, "I don't know."
I don't know.
And then what was it? Yesterday I was like taking a nap. I was just, Theo had a night on Saturday night going into Sunday.
Sorry, man.
And so he was up for a couple hours and I was in charge of that whole incident, but I slept. I was in this nap and my wife goes, "Hey, we're having your birthday party over at my sister-in-law's house and my brother's house. Okay. It's like, we're going to buy a cake here today." So after church, after Lord's Day service, Lord's Day service happens.
Yep.
Six baptisms, by the way.
Whoa.
Six
awesome.
Baptisms.
Good.
Outside.
Sunday.
Outside. Let's clear. Go. Clear, but a little bit windy. And you can see Mount Rainier off. Dude. In the distance through the courtyard that we were baptizing people in. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Pretty sweet Sunday.
That's
and
great.
Then so we go to Safeway. Mm-hmm. I am ordering a cake through like the this is a throwback nostalgia before we get into something, but do you remember ordering, if you went to a grocery store, you went to the bakery department.
Yes.
Did you have a cake catalog that you'd go
to? Yes,
dude.
You picked out like, I want the Spider-Man cake,
dude.
I want the Batman cake,
dude.
And I wanted to say happy birthday to Josh from Batman,
dude. Yeah. We ordered a cake, my birthday cake, out of a cake catalog, and there was so much nostalgia rushing through my mind.
It's the best.
Everything, anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, fun times. Yeah. But
do you ever get those videos come across your feed? Where it's like, which 90s sound hits you the hardest?
Oh, man.
And then it's just a bunch of like TV show themes and video game themes. Yeah. It was like the old, what is it? Nickelodeon. Like the old Nickelodeon theme, right? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like Kratz Creatures. Do you remember like Kratz Creatures on PBS?
Those some throwbacks. Those dude. Those some throwbacks right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we, yeah.
Gosh,
there was, that. Yeah, there's also like some Yacht Rock dad memes where every time mm-hmm. you hear this, all the dads will look and it's plays like Doobie Brothers with Michael McDonald and just like a little cut of it or something like that. And they were playing like Phil Collins. So
Phil Collins, the king.
Yeah. Phil Collins isn't necessarily Yacht Rock, but Phil Collins has some bangers that old men listen to. Okay.
Phil Collins is like the ultimate, like, I feel like he crosses genres or he crosses ethnic lines. And I have never met a white person or a black person that is not like Phil Collins.
This
like you mention Phil Collins to any white guy or any black guy, and they're like, yeah, no, Phil Collins, like he's awesome. There's something about the combo of singer, also drummer. That's just, I mean, mm-hmm. people love it. People
true.
Love it. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. But Lord's Day was good. We're in the middle of membership classes right now, which are pretty cool. We split ours up into four separate weeks. We go through what is the church and then the first one is what is the gospel, and then what is the church, the gospel or the theological distinctions and things like that. And then we get into kind of the more specific stuff in the end. But we just did a doctrine in theology last week and got into some really interesting conversations for sure.
Oh,
really
yeah.
good conversations.
Oh yeah.
It's always fun to see because every group is different, you know, like I've been in some groups where it's like, you have to just try your best to stay on topic and to get through the stuff because of all the rabbit trails you're taking, right?
Yeah.
Then you have some groups where, you know, they're more reserved or more quiet, right? I feel like our group kind of started that way, and then we're slowly kind of, you know, pulling ourselves out of that. But the doctrine and theology was a really, really great week, really interesting. And I think it actually went over time. So it's, it's membership classes are a lot of fun. We're having them. We split them between Pastor David's house and then my house. We're hosting the next two. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. But we've got, and it actually brought up something that I wanted to talk to you about. Was this idea of, because as here, I'll set the stage. I'll set the premise.
Okay.
We have in our church, right? Obviously people are individuals. They mm-hmm. They deal with things individually. Right. And it got me starting to think, especially through this kind of bringing new people in to the church, the importance of not having a cookie cutter mentality when you're shepherding. Right. It's because we have the kind of the base things that we want to go through in terms of, this is what we want to cover when it comes to our church's distinctives. This is what we want to cover when it comes to doctrine and theology and, things like that. But I become very acutely aware every time I do something like a members meeting or even our young adults class, right, that different people digest things differently, mm-hmm. right? And when you are wanting to lead someone through something, it becomes very apparent to me, especially in membership classes. And again, the idea is to have a 30,000-foot view of kind of what we believe on things, right? And then obviously have more intentional, relational shepherding afterward, right? Mm-hmm. But it does reveal that issue of, if this was just all shepherding was, there'd be so many people that would just fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
Because there are some people that are spiritually, you know, at one level, and then some that are spiritually on another level, right? Mm-hmm. And some people that are coming from this background and some people that are coming from this background. And you begin to realize very quickly the importance of meeting people where they're at and shepherding people individually versus
this is the only shepherding that you're going to get at, you know, as a group. Now, obviously, there's corporate shepherding that happens when the word is preached, the word is prayed, and things like that, right? But if that's all you're doing, I think you're missing a large part of what it means to shepherd people effectively.
Yeah, and even looking at, I'm glad you brought this up, because even in certain settings within your local church, you may not be aware of certain things that will hit different with certain people. I'll give you an example. We are going through Genesis in both men's Bible study and what we are calling, what we do in like a Bible study and a fellowship time on Sunday, in which we gather together and we're going through Genesis. If there's been occasions, now that is a mixed group, meaning there are older generations who are attuned to a certain level of preaching and who understand certain things. And I was really, so one of the deacons who's kind of leading that time is really walking through the full meal deal of Genesis. Like, you can't understand Genesis without understanding ancient Near East people and how this hit with them.
Sure, sure.
Or even when we say, you know, God made the heavens and the earth, that means something completely different. We are thinking in our minds, in our 21st century North American minds, okay, I'm thinking stars, I'm thinking planets, I'm thinking all this. Those people back then did not have that category. Those people back then, if you've seen ancient cosmology charts, knew of the sky and knew of, you know, the earth and the foundations of the earth. And sometimes they thought that the heavens were actually propped up by the mountains in some pictures. Like, if you just, if you just put in Bible, like ancient Bible cosmology, it'll show you what a lot of ancient people will view what the world looked like in their minds.
Yeah.
Right. And so a lot of that comes from just the culture and how they viewed that. So it's a very different view of kind of investigating the Bible, because a lot of people just come to it with their 21st century mind and that's it.
Sure.
When in reality, you know, the Bible is written, is not written to us. It's written for us. So when we are looking at texts, we are looking at them through the lens that, yes, like later on down the line, like they are for us. Like there are explicit, you know, when Paul writes his epistles, yes, those are written for us, but they're not written to us.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Genesis is written for us, but it's not written to us. So understanding that, but it just shows that if you say something, and sometimes like if you just say an offhanded quip, it'll be something in which it ripples and at people at certain levels of their discipleship, right? Or their maturity will act in ways that will either show that or disagree with that or whatnot. So yeah, we've seen that maybe once or twice already. In the men's Bible studies, it's not anything. I mean, you can go into a men's Bible study and say the wildest things and I'll just shoot you down over the Pacific, dude. I don't care.
Jack is like, I am the arbiter.
Bro, you walk into a men's Bible study and it's like, you want to spar? I'm sparring, okay? You just throwing gloves down. In those bigger settings, it's a little bit different vibe, you know?
For sure.
But yeah, I think you do have to, kind of... I don't say walk a line necessarily, but you do have to know your audiences, right?
You 100% do. Yeah, absolutely.
And then just even the level of, there is so much so often you miss in a corporate gathering that you need those other smaller gatherings of the church as well too.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, we can talk about, you know, there's been other ways in which this has been done. I think that generally, I mean, I'm not saying that a certain way is more blessed than another way, but sometimes there could be situations in which people really focus in on the Lord's Day, which that's not a bad thing. And they do an evening service, right? Yeah. So that's a little bit more intimate. Maybe sometimes, maybe not a lot of people show up, but it's more intimate. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a potluck before that or after it.
Right.
I've seen that happen before in churches. Or you have a Wednesday evening service or something like that. I'm just saying, like, you have to maximize. There needs to be ways in which people can naturally and organically disciple other people.
Yeah.
In a way that you can understand them, they can understand you, that even sometimes your pastors are in on that and you know what's going on.
Yeah.
Or even just community groups. I'm not saying community group is an end all be all, but community groups help.
They do help, right? And it's one of those things where it's like, look, I mean, obviously Jack and I believe that our main constituency is the local church gathering, right? On the Lord's Day. That's the magnum opus. That's the main thing, right?
Yeah.
But what we're saying is that if that's all you do, is if all of the shepherding, all of the discipleship that you are giving to your people is simply on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's how it was intended to be, right? Obviously, that's the primary, and that's the main discipleship that's happening. But there should be intentional time that's taken to meet with your members, to be with them, to see where they're at. Because here's the thing, like Jack is saying, if your only understanding or idea of discipleship is the sermon that you preach on the Lord's Day, okay, I think that you are missing out and neglecting your job as a pastor to help your congregation understand and practically live out what is preached. The job of the pastor is not confined to the Lord's Day. It is the entirety of your people's lives.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I think that there's so much emphasis, especially in the Reformed world, and it's not bad, but there's so much emphasis placed on the preaching, which, again, preaching is important. It's one of the primary ways that the word goes out. If not it is the primary way it goes out on the Lord's Day, right? Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. We should have great emphasis on preaching. But preaching doth not make a pastor, right? And if you view your preaching as the end-all be-all of what it means to shepherd, I think you're losing the forest through the trees, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that you have to do, one of the main jobs of a pastor, and it's not just the pastor, honestly, it's the membership. One of the jobs of a Christian that is covenanted to their local church is to disciple other Christians.
Yeah.
It's what we're called to do, right? And you can't do that with a cookie cutter understanding of what discipleship or shepherding looks like.
Yeah.
Right? We need to understand that people are individuals and they are in different places emotionally, different maturity levels, different places spiritually, different experiences, right? And too many individuals, I would say, with great intention and good motives, I think their heart is in the right spot, but engage in discipleship in somewhat of a lazy manner because they have this idea and understanding of what discipleship looks like. And it's okay, I get together with this person, we read here, or we go through this, Louis Burkhoff systematic theology, and this is what discipleship looks like, right? For some people, maybe. For some people, maybe the primary ways that they need to be discipled is theologically. So, take them through something good like that, right? But what I have found is that the vast majority of individuals, it takes time and effort and intentionality to get to know them as a person so that you can see, okay, here is where the strengths are, and here is where they need someone to come alongside them, right? And I guess my point in saying all that is you can't do that without a great emphasis on relationship.
Yeah.
It needs to be there.
Yeah, very
and
much
if you're,
so.
If you're missing that, at whether you're a pastor or whether you're a local church member and you're wanting to invest into somebody, if you're trying to do it without that relationship being there, you are going to be fighting against yourself.
Yeah.
It's just how it is, right? Yeah. I'm not saying you have to be best friends with somebody before you disciple them or before you share with them truths of scripture, right? I'm not saying that at all. But you should at least show that the discipleship that you are wanting to give is coming from a place of love and care and not duty and expectation.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's important because people will sense that. They will understand this person is investing in me because they care about me, but they will also be able to sniff out pretty easily, I'm just a number to you. Yeah. I'm just a checkbox on like your list, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not what discipleship and shepherding looks like, especially if you want it to be effective.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Plus, I think also, too, the size of your church is a huge factor in this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So if you have a certain amount of elder pastors, and then a certain amount of deacons, mm-hmm. and then also a certain amount of other maybe leaders who do not hold a title, like community group leader in our church. We don't hold an office in the church.
Sure.
It's just there to facilitate and to help and to kind of spur on that discipling, mm-hmm. discipleship culture, but also in a familial manner. Mm-hmm. So when we meet for community group at my house, a lot of it is talking about our lives. A lot of it is talking about ways in which we could be thinking about prayer, but also mm-hmm. it's like focused on the Bible and really spurring us on to what is the text telling us?
Yeah.
Or what, how are we looking at this and how are we challenging each other with maybe different ways in which the text is communicating itself to us mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting because Romans is a very interesting book. There's some takes. I will just say this.
Oh, there's some takes.
Say that I disagree or agree with them. But some people think, and some people have the opinion that up until, I think it's Romans 8 mm-hmm. is the last chapter in which Paul is addressing the Jewish church or the Jewish people in the Roman church. And then chapters 9 through 16 or 9 through 15, I think 6. What is it? 15 chapters in Romans? I know the last chapter is just acknowledgments because I saw this. I got to double check. But basically,
16. 16 yeah. total.
So basically, 9 through 15 is more addressed to the Gentiles. So some people have. So we've been walking through that with some people. And it's like, okay, I could see it. I'm not going to make that the totality and understanding of that text.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good maybe baseline. I'm not going to, that's a theory.
It's a theory. It's a head scratcher. Yeah.
And it's interesting to look at the scripture through that theory, right? But it's not the end all be all. So, but yeah, you can really suss out some things in community group and walk through stuff with people in community group that you may not get in a bigger, broader audience gathering like you do on the Lord's Day, or just even how you do Lord's Day gatherings, or if you operate in that service gathering, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but you need to understand that you're only getting one shot, one take, one view of this person. Mm-hmm. And if you're at least not going beyond that in other different ways, like you're not going to understand or know them to the extent that they probably should be known and should be helped and discipled. And so, I think if anything, Josh and I are just trying to spur local church leaders on to understand the people because the members of your church, like I've been in meetings to where I sit down and my pastors will rattle off, have a list of new members, where they're coming from, what they've been through. Maybe some of them are coming into my community group. I know we've had two couples of two members come into my community group.
Yeah.
And I've got to know them a little bit here and there, but not to the extent that I've known them in community group. So, how are you facilitating And helping out those members connect to the church body in ways in mm-hmm. which they can be known.
Yeah.
And when they are known, that they're going to get legitimate, you know, first line, first response.
Yeah.
Versus sometimes the pastoral response may be delayed because of whatever. Sure. So,
yeah. And realize, right, that what's effective in shepherding one person might not be effective for someone else, right? You might have one person in your church mm-hmm. that really values just getting to the point, give it to me straight, don't give me the fluff, just say what you mean and mean what you say so that we can like figure it out, right? There's some people that respond really well to that, right? There's other people that if you tried that type of communication with, they would fold like a table in stress and anxiety, right? And it's your job to understand that, right? And to shape and mold the perhaps the way that you are shepherding to best help that person. It doesn't mean that you're changing the truths. It doesn't mean that you're changing what you say, but it's how you say it. Right. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I'm going to shepherd one person that is, you know, that it has a, you know, a background in, let's just say, let's think of some examples, right? You have like the little old lady that's super sweet and struggling because her kids don't know Jesus. I'm going to shepherd her so much differently and interact with her so much differently than I would like the ex-con who is coming to church and he got saved in jail and he wants to, you know, grow in his theology. Those are going to be two, again, extreme examples, but for the point of my illustration, right? Those are going to be two very different shepherding styles, right? I'm going to be going through probably the same things, but it's going to be so much different with one versus the other. And that's effective shepherding. That's what we should do. That's how we should do it. It doesn't mean that you are, again, compromising or changing the things that you're saying, but know your people and be all things to all people, as Paul says. Right? Doesn't mean that you're sacrificing truth. It means that, oh, this person communicates this way. I'm going to communicate in a way that is best. I know they're going to best receive it. I'm going to do the same for this person. I'm going to do the same for this person, right? And that's a good thing. We should seek to do that for one another, because that's, if we want to be effective in communication, effective in shepherding, and relationally effective, learn how that person ticks and thinks and operates so that you can help them in that and not be, not be a detriment to that. You don't want to be oil to their water, right?
Yeah.
You want that communication and that relationship to mold and to come together. Right.
Yeah.
And there's some people that have harder time doing that than others, and I totally understand that. But it's a worthwhile thing to pursue because I think that when we do that, it is like we're showing self-sacrifice, right? I'm showing that I care more about this person and communicating well with this person than I do just doing things or saying things the way that I naturally would, right? Because, yeah, like there's many times where I am talking with somebody at church and I realize, oh, I'm a pretty outgoing guy, right? My family is like, I'm half Lebanese. If you know anything about Middle Eastern people, we get right up in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like I'm not having a real conversation with you unless our noses are almost touching, right?
Very true, dude.
And I'm loud, right? And I realize that's abrasive to some people. And there's sometimes where my wife has to be like, hey, like calm it down a little bit. Like you're extroverting like crazy right now.
Yeah.
And that's been something I've realized, like, oh yeah, okay, I got to tone this down. I got to speak a little softer, speak a little slower, and not like overwhelm this person with my presence, right? Because I love them and I care about them. And I don't want to be the person that they are nervous about interacting with because they feel like they just get walked over.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Yeah, if it's about knowing your people and being self-sacrificial and seeking to love them and shepherd them in a way that is effective to them, and not just viewing shepherding or discipleship or care, just basic care, in a cookie cutter way, because it's not, right? It's not. Not everyone's the same. So we're going to care for people differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Jack, something that is cookie cutter is our outro. So why don't you hit us with the outro?
So good.
And we will say the same things that we always do.
Nice transition.
End this episode. Yeah.
Nice transition.
We're gonna get to the Patreon, man. We got patrons to.
I got birthday gifts that I already got that I need to reveal.
I gotta send you mine. Full disclosure, I'm just gonna be sending you either a gift card or money for you to buy cigars.
Do it.
That's what we do. We're simple creatures. We know what each other's want. So just give me what I want and you will get what I know you want. So yeah, we want things to sweet offerings to send up to the Lord. That's what we want.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's take on the local church, if you appreciate our focus on the local church and how it should be central to the believer's life, you can continue this conversation through the sociables, if you will. You can send us a direct message if you have episode ideas, if you have questions, comments, concerns. You can direct those all to us there at the Facebook, the metaverse, if you will. The Instagram goes well with chocolate or marshmallow, or the sociable formerly known as X, or formerly known as Twitter, excuse me.
It is now X.
Now X. Had a cyber attack, apparently.
Did it really?
It did. Yeah.
I did not know this. Okay. Patreon.
Oh, yeah. Those details will be saved for the podluck. So, by the way, if you want to support us further, Josh can tell you how you can do that. And part of that is through the Patreon.
These things. Yeah. let's see. First, we have a YouTube. If you want to watch this episode as well as listen to it, you can head on over to YouTube, search for the Reformatory Podcast, give us a like, subscribe, comment, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. If you want to support us monetarily, there are a few ways that you can do that. Click the link in the description of this episode to the Amazon store. That's right. Your boys are on Amazon selling sweet merch. Some awesome Reformed-esque designs. New designs in the works. We're going to be getting some up. I think we're going to hopefully get some up in the spring here. Some cool stuff. Like this podcast, review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. We appreciate that as well. Last but not least, as Jack has already alluded to, we have a Patreon. It's the best Patreon in Reformdom. It really is. You get bonus episodes every week. You get this episode early. We have an exclusive Reformatory chat that we share fun stuff to. It's a ball. It's a blast. And you get Jack and I, the best part, is you get Jack and I uncensored. It's Jack and I after hours is what it is. On the podluck. That's right. All the things that we wish we could say and want to say, it's over there. It's behind a paywall. And that's for a reason. So if you want to hear about whatever Jack has to bring, if you want to hear about the horrible salad that I had for lunch today, dude, it was bad. I'm gonna call out a restaurant viciously. I'm never going back. You can head on over to the Patreon for $5 a month. That's all it is, a fiver. If you choose to do so and you support the Reformatory, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.